welcome everyone to the assembly this evening, and I'm thankful for the Norman congregation who is hosting the meeting and for the work that they've done, and I appreciate the opportunity to be one of the speakers during this meeting. Last week at the preacher study at 21st Street, my topic was the social gospel, and I would like to at least present a few thoughts from my topic last week for your consideration if you weren't present that day when we studied this topic. The social gospel is actually a religious movement that actually began in the late 19th century, early part of the 1900s, and the two men that sort of spearheaded the gospel, social gospel movement were two men, one named Washington Gladden, the other Walter Rauschenbusch. These two men felt like that churches were not fulfilling their true call because most churches were just ministering to man's spiritual side. They were preaching about sin and the afterlife, heaven and hell, the judgment day, and that sort of thing. And they felt like that for the church to really do its job, it needs to minister to the whole man. And so they developed the whole man concept. The whole man, you see, the whole man has a spiritual side, that is true, and his sins need to be talked about, and we need to talk about the afterlife, but man also has a physical side. He has financial problems. He has marital problems. He has a psychological problem. Sometimes he has occupational problems. And so if the church is going to minister to the whole man, the church is going to have some programs that will minister to the whole man and not just to his spiritual side. So they developed the social gospel. Now there's a church in the Chicago, Illinois area. I'm going to tell you a little bit about this church. It's called Willow Creek Community Church. The pastor, Bill Hybels, is the founder of that church, and that church is growing. And I'm concerned about church growth, and maybe you are too, and we get discouraged because we don't see very many people being baptized. And the people that we see baptized are children that are being raised up in our families, and very rarely do we see someone completely dissociated from the church being baptized. And so we get discouraged, but now Willow Creek Community Church is not having a problem growing. They're growing by leaps and bounds. They started in 1975 on October the 12th in a rented movie theater. They didn't care about a building. We think that we can't start a church unless we've got a building to meet in. They didn't care about the building. They started with a rented movie theater. That's where they got their name from, by the way, Willow Creek. The very first service, they started with 125 people. If we started a congregation and our first service had 125 people, we'd say, "Woo, wait, 125 people at the first service." Within 2 years, or within 3 years, they had 2,000 people. If we went from 125 people to 2,000 people in 2 years, we'd think, "Whoa, what is going on?" I'll tell you what's going on. They're preaching a social gospel. That's why they are growing by leaps and bounds. Now here's what Bill Hybels, the pastor, did. He took a three-man survey crew into the community where he wanted to start his church, in the community of this rented building, movie theater. And he went door to door to people who admitted they were unchurched and unsaved. And he was asking them, "Why do you not go to church? What would it take to get you to come to church?" That was the question he's asking these unchurched people. He learned four things. The reason people weren't coming to church, number one, they did not like being mugged for money. Number two, they found that the church was boring, predictable, and routine, and they didn't like it, so they just didn't go. Number three, they always left church feeling guilty. And they're not going to go if they feel guilty, so they just didn't go. And number four, they didn't like a church that was not relevant in their lives. And what I mean by that, or what they meant by that, is the church, or the average church, was preaching on irrelevant issues. Things that don't matter. Things like, for example, the Godhead. who needs to know about God, right? That's why they didn't go to church, because that's an irrelevant issue. The plan of salvation, issues of morality, scriptural worship, those were irrelevant as far as these unchurched people were concerned. And these are subjects that have been debated and discussed and argued for years and years. And Generation X is tired of the bickering and the fussing and the arguing over these irrelevant issues. They wanted something that was relevant in their life. Here are some relevant issues that really draw people, that people really need to hear at church. Things like how to have job satisfaction. Well, there's your real relevant issue there. How to overcome disillusionment. How to be happy. Oh, we need that one. How to improve your home. How to manage your time. How to be a friend. How to make your marriage sizzle. There's one. Real relevant. Those are the topics that they needed to hear preached. And that's what Bill Hybels was assigned. He listened to all of these complaints about the unchurched had. So he gave them what they wanted. He gave them a church that they wanted. A church that had no negative message. A church that was preaching on relevant issues. A church that wasn't bugging them and making them feel guilty. He gave them what they wanted. And Willow Creek has 17,000 people show up every weekend now for church. What's wrong with this? What's wrong with the social gospel? Well, let me just give you some reasons. I'll run out of time, but I'll stop when my time is up. Number one. The problem with the social gospel is it confuses individual action with church action. The Bible makes a very clear distinction between what individuals can do and what the church can do. There is a false concept that whatever an individual can do, the church can do it. And that's not true. There are some that the Bible, first of all, makes a clear distinction between church action or individual action and church action. You can read that in Matthew chapter 15 or chapter 18, verses 15 through 17, where a brother sins against you and you're told what to do. Clear distinction between individual action and church action. Also, the Bible tells us that there are some things that only an individual can do. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 16. There are other actions that only the church can do. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 33. As an individual, we can give our money to anybody that we want to. Galatians 6, verse 10. But the church can only give its money to church members and only certain church members. Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. Acts 11, verse 27 through 30. Never is the church ever authorized to provide entertainment and refreshments for anybody. Now, the brethren here that are hosting this meeting want you to understand the difference between individual action and church action. Tonight, when this service comes to a close, there will be two prayers at the end of this service. The first prayer is going to be a dismissal prayer. That prayer is to end the assembly. And when that prayer is said and we said amen, that will be the end of the worship assembly. Then there will be another prayer. That will be for the food in the cafeteria. That will be a prayer that will be led after the assembly is over, because providing food is not the work of the church. That food in the cafeteria is not being purchased with church money. The church has no authorization whatsoever to be providing refreshments for people after church. That food has been purchased by individuals. And the brethren here want you to understand the difference between individual action and church action. Behold your king. He came to save you. He did not come to provide you with food and refreshments and recreation. He did not come to give you a social gospel. Number two, what's wrong with the social gospel? It perverts the treasury of the church. It is wrong and it is sinful to take church money and give it to unbelievers from the community. That is wrong. It is sinful. The collection is for the saints. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, when the Lord sent the disciples out to preach the limited commission, he said, take no money in your money belts. You know why he told them that? He wanted his preachers to show up in town, and the very moment they walked into town, they were the poorest person in the town as soon as they walked in it. They had nothing. They had no money to start doling out to everybody. They didn't have two tunics. They had no. All they had was the gospel. That's all they had to give to anybody, just the gospel. Matter of fact, in Matthew 10, verses 11 through 15, Jesus expected the city to take care of the preacher, not the other way around. He didn't expect the preacher to come to town and start taking care of all the poor folks. He expected the town to take care of the preacher. And if they don't, Jesus said, I want you to go out of the town and shake the dust off your feet. It'll be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that city. Church money was to be used only for church members and only certain church members. Acts 11, 27 through 30. Behold your king. What did he think about the social gospel? He came to save us from our sins. He did not come to provide money for all of your bills and financial needs. Well, number three, the social gospel ruins evangelism. Somebody said, how can it ruin evangelism? I think that'd be the greatest thing. If we want the church to grow, start to offering people things that are relevant, things that will make them feel. It ruins evangelism. Because people began to view the church as a provider for their rent, their electric bill. They come. We have people come over the seminar and they wait till after church is over. They never show up in time to attend the services of the church. They wait till church services are over. And when they come in, they don't go to the track rack and say, oh, look, a tract about how to be saved or how to worship Scripture. They're not interested in any tracts. They're not interested in CDs. They want money. And if you got no money, they've got no time for you. That's what the social gospel does. It conditions unbelievers to start viewing the church as a provider for their social needs, not for spiritual needs. Jesus refused to give bread to people who were coming just for bread. John chapter 6, verse 26 and 27. Paul warned that if a sinner is converted to any other foundation than the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, he is converted to the wrong foundation. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. The church of God becomes defiled when people come for different reasons than for the teachings of the Lord. Verse 17. And the sinner himself is never saved by the social gospel. 1 Corinthians 3, 13 through 15. Behold your king. He refused to use the social gospel to attract people to the gospel. Well, Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 12 through 14, the Bible says, if you hear someone in one of your cities, you hear a rumor that something's going on, don't listen to it, because that's gossiping and that's meddling. Is that what it says here? Deuteronomy 13, 12. If you hear of someone in one of your cities, in verse 14, the Bible says, you shall inquire and search out and ask diligently, and if indeed it is true and certain, then he tells the people what to do. We have leaders in the church that are ignorant that the social gospel is going on in our brotherhood tonight as I speak, and they don't want to know. It's a willful ignorance. Because if they knew that the social gospel was indeed being practiced and used, they might have to oppose their friends, their relatives. And they don't want to do that. And the best way to handle this situation is to be willfully ignorant. You say, well, I don't know. I've heard rumors, but you know, I don't know what's right and what's wrong. This Bible tells the leaders in Deuteronomy chapter 13, you shall search out inquire and ask diligently, and if it is true, you need to do something. And I would encourage all the church leaders that are here tonight, If you hear of rumors of unrest in the Brotherhood, you need to inquire, search diligently, and ask. And if it is true, take a stand for the truth and oppose the social